So what if I told you that playing it safe is actually dangerous? What if I told you that what God really desires from us is to take a step of faith, to risk, to go on a faith adventure? What if I told you God is not all that concerned about your comfort? What if I told you that God is perfectly okay with stretching you outside of what you would do? Amen? Today, I want to talk about that. You know, I when I think about people that I admire people who take risks. I especially admire people who take risks for the benefit of others. People who are willing to get outside of themselves so that someone else's life might be added in terms of value. When I think about a risk taker, I was thinking about this week. I was like, who do I admire? And there's somebody that I really admire. Her name is Harriet Tubman. I admire Harriet Tubman, who was a former slave who escaped from her slave owner, but she didn't just think about herself. She took a risk to leave the free state and go back to the slave state and take some more people back with her. Harriet was a devout follower of Jesus, and she said something so powerful as she was traversing what is called the Underground Railroad, which is this path of freeing slaves. She said this, I said to the Lord, I'm going to hold steady onto you, and I know you will see me through. She goes on to say, and he did see me through every time. Over a period of about 8 years, she made somewhere between 13 to 19 journeys and rescued. There's variations on the numbers, anywhere from 60 to 300. It was a lot. But she rescued these people from bondage. And then she said this. She said, I was the conductor of the Underground Railroad for 8 years. I can say what most conductors can't say. I never ran my train off the track, and I never lost a passenger. Man, I like people who will take a risk for someone else to see someone else's life blessed. You know what? I tell you who else I admire. I admire veterans. I admire veterans who kiss their families goodbye and go to dangerous places for the sake of our own safety and security. I admire entrepreneurs, people who are willing to step out and innovate and create something that can be of benefit to others. You know who else I admire? I admire public school teachers. Who take a risk every day in some of these communities. Right there on the front lines, pouring into the lives of others. I admire missionaries who will leave what is familiar, go to what is unfamiliar, leave what is comfortable, go to what is uncomfortable for the sake of carrying the gospel. I admire people like that. Let me tell you who I really admire. I admire Chapel Hill volunteers. I admire Chapel Hill volunteers who get outside of their comfort zone, come here early on Sunday, come early on Wednesday, and serve for the sake of the gospel. I admire you. Amen. See, I want to encourage you and challenge you to be a person who's willing to take risk, to go on an adventure. You know, Jesus invited a young man on an adventure. He invited this young man to take a risk. We find this story in Mark chapter 10, and in some scriptures it's called the rich young ruler, or the rich young man, depending on which translation you have. But let's read this story. Let's pick up in verse 17. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. You see, there are some things that we can recognize as we look at this passage right away. First of all, we know this young man was thinking about eternity. He was wondering. He was thinking about, you know, I've got all of this wealth. I've got all of this prominence. I have been a rule follower of the commandments of Moses, but I'm not sure I have everything I need for eternal life. So he poses the question, what else must be done, good teacher, in order for me to inherit eternal life? He had an eternal focus. Something else that we see is that he was impressed by Jesus. I mean, he came running and then he fell down on his knees. Now, if he was a rich young ruler, he was probably known in that community. If he was a rich young ruler, he was probably a man of means, and he was probably dressed really nice. But he ran up to Jesus and he fell down on his knees. He was honoring at least who he thought Jesus was. And then something else we see is that he called Jesus good teacher. But then Jesus responds. He says, why do you call me good teacher? Are you really getting who I am? Because if you want to use the word good, then you better know who you're directing that to. See, are you ready to say, not only are you good, but are you ready to say, I am God? Because only God is good. So if you want to use those words, you better know who you're directing it to. Do you really know who I am? Let's not try to butter me up and flatter me. I don't need flattery. If you call me good, you had better be ready to call me God. And so then he asked this question. He says, so you know the commandments. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And here's the rich young ruler kneeling before him. And I can just imagine as he's listening, he's like, well, honor your father and mother. I've done that since I was a child. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't committed adultery. I don't defraud anyone. I can imagine him beginning to stand up. Oh, I, you're not giving me anything new, good teacher. Like, I get that. And can you imagine Jesus, who knows all things? Can you imagine saying to Jesus, Lord, I have been perfect. Lord, I have been perfect in all of these things. I've already done this stuff that you have said. And I can just imagine Jesus going, really? And then the scripture says he looked at him and loved him. You know, it was as though, it may not have happened this way, but I just like to imagine what it might have been like. So I think Jesus might have been there looking at him going, bless your heart. Now, if you're from the South, you know what bless your heart really means, right? It's not really a blessing. Nor is it a compliment. Translation of bless your heart, poor thing, you don't have a clue. You just don't have a clue. Bless your heart. It's like when I do something dumb and my wife goes, God love you. See, that's not a blessing. It's not a compliment. It's, Lord, have mercy on him. I pity him. Poor thing. And see, that's what Jesus was doing. He was just trying to tell him, you're listing all of these things, but you just don't get it. See, this guy, he was a rule follower. He was a checklist kind of guy. He's checking off all of the things that he has done. But Jesus was trying to tell him, the list won't get you into where you're trying to go. You cannot check enough things off the list to earn what you are seeking. And Jesus is saying, listen, okay, you've got all this stuff under control, but you lack one thing. Go and sell everything that you have and then follow me. But the scripture says his face fell. He walked away sad. Why? Because he was rich. He walked away sad because he had many things. See, there's something about wealth that can be very deceptive. There's something about the pursuit of wealth that can make us think it's all we need. I saw this interesting story this week about a millionaire who stood up in a small church and he said, I attribute all my wealth to the blessings of God in my life. He says, I can still remember the turning point in my faith like it was yesterday. He said, I had just earned my first dollar and I went to church that night and there was a missionary who was telling us about his work. And I knew that I only had $1 bill and had decided to give it all to God's work. So I gave everything I had to God. And I believe that God blessed that decision. And that is why I am a rich man today. And the pastor standing off on the side. And he says these words, I dare you to do it again. I mean, if it worked with the dollar, surely it'll work with the millions you're carrying around right now. See, the rich young man, he walked away because he was rich. But let me tell you who else is rich. You are. I am. Did you ride to church in a car today? If you rode to church in a car today, that makes you amongst the top 5% of wealthy people in the world. There are literally millions and in some nations, billions of people who are far more poor. Did you have running water and electricity? Automatically, that makes you wealthier than the largest percentage of the people in the world. Did you have a roof and four walls? Not made out of mud and sticks. Listen, okay, so you didn't come in a car. Did you come on MARTA? If you came on the church van, it automatically makes you wealthier than most of the people around the world. Did you walk on a paved sidewalk? Did you cross over asphalt? Was there a traffic signal that kept you from being? You are already wealthier than the large majority of those in the rest of the world. So who is it that really has a problem with wealth? It's all of us. See, what Jesus was trying to teach this rich young ruler is the problem in the hearts of all of us, that we have a tendency as human beings to depend on the things that we have. And God is constantly calling us, will you give me that? Will you let that go too? He's constantly asking us, what else will you give to me? Will you give up that which really is not wealth in exchange for that which really is wealth? Who has the rich young ruler's money today? Nobody. It's all gone. But Jesus had an offer. He's saying, give to me what you can't possibly keep anyway, in order to receive what cannot be lost. See, that's the call that he has for us. Let's continue to read the passage. Verse 23. After the rich young man had walked away, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. See, he was addressing this hurdle, this obstacle that we all have to deal with. And it's not just excessive wealth. It's our tendency to focus on what we can see, what we can hold on to. And Jesus is constantly calling us to let go of what we can see and to be people who walk by faith. You know how he gets us to walk by faith? He asks us to give up something we can see. Amen. Let go of something that you can see. Let go of something that you might be inclined to hold on to. It might not be wealth. It might be your own personalized dreams and pursuits. It might be your own agenda. It might be your own desire to craft and direct your life according to your will. He's calling us to let go of those things. See, the greatest obstacle we face is depending on anything other than God to take care of us. See, this is what the rich young ruler teaches us, that we too have that tendency to depend on something. I need to know how it's going to go down, preacher. I need to know, how is this thing going to fit into my calendar? How long am I going to have to be here? How much of this am I going to have to do? how is it all going to work out? But Jesus just says, I don't give instructions like that. I give them one at a time. When you follow the first one, it will lead you to the second. But if you don't follow the first, don't even look for the second. You know, it's so funny. I have people coming to me all the time, and they're talking about their life's direction. And there's a question that I often ask, and I'll ask this question. Do you remember what was the last thing God told you to do? Amen. Well, you know, what had happened was. And oftentimes I have to encourage people, you need to go back to the last clear instruction that you had. Do that. And then the instruction that is attached to it will follow. See, just like the rich young ruler, sometimes we get these instructions, we get these promptings, we get these leadings to go a certain direction or to let go of a particular thing or to move in a different direction. And we think, I think I'm going to lose if I do that. That looks like loss. See, that's the secret with God. It always looks like loss. The cross looked like loss. The crucifixion looked like the end. But it was winning in disguise. It was victory undercover. It was clandestine victory by the Lord that was cloaked in what looked like a loss. He was saying to the rich young ruler, trust me if I'm really good or God. If I ask it of you, you can trust that I have something incredible in store. So today I want to give you two transformative prayers that you can pray, that if you dare to pray them, if you're willing to risk that prayer, that it will transform your life. Prayer number one, God, open my eyes to who you really are, and then I'll open my life to you. God, open my eyes to who you really are. You know, some people, there's a lot of people that like Jesus. They celebrate some of the principles that he teaches in the Gospels. Love your neighbor. Oh, that sounds good. They celebrate the principles and they approach him as a good teacher. But what he really wants to show you is, I'm not a good teacher. I am the teacher. Like, there is no other teacher. I'm not just a good teacher. I am God Almighty, who is responsible for your very existence and who also has the right to lay claim to the life that I've loaned to you. He wants us to see who he really is. And when we see who he really is, we'll open our lives to him. He's inviting you to enter into some uncharted territory in your life. And see, here's the thing. See, some of you have been in this faith thing for a while, and you think, yeah, I did that. There's no such thing as past when it comes to God. He's only dealing with you in the now. So what you gave up before, that's nice. But what is he asking of you today? I mean, God is constantly, I mean, sometimes I wish he would leave me alone, but he won't leave me alone. I mean, just when I was like, okay, we got through that, man, let's sit down. Nope, don't sit down. What? Isn't it true? Just when you think you're going to, oh, no, not yet. I'm not done with you. And so he's still calling us to open ourselves up to him. He's constantly saying, let's go into uncharted territory. Here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to lose who you think you are in exchange for who he says you are. He wants you to lose who you think you are in exchange for who he says you are. And he's constantly clarifying that truth. So that prayer again is, God, open my eyes to you. Open my eyes to who you really are. And then I'll open my life to you. But you know what? This is a risk that's actually not all that dangerous. It's actually more dangerous to navigate through life not knowing who he is. It's actually more dangerous to try to hold on to what you think you should do, think you should have. It's more dangerous to do that than to just let it go and say, okay, Lord, whatever you've asked, have your way. That's the safest choice you can ever make. Lord, have your way. Lord, I'll go wherever you will take me. I'll do whatever you call me to do. No qualifiers, no contracts, no conditions. I will go, I will do, I will be whatever. It's the safest place to be. Now, emotionally, it is the most vulnerable you will ever feel. But that vulnerability is good for you. Because the vulnerability reminds you, I cannot do this on my own. The vulnerability reminds you, I am 100% totally dependent on him. It's the safest place we can ever be. So what is God saying? If it's a faith risk, see, a faith risk is not like some of the normal risks that we take. See, when we take a risk, okay, I'm gonna go back to school. When we take a risk, and you know what we think? We feel like, okay, I passed the test, I got the entrance exam, you know, I think I can navigate through these classes. So we start calculating. Oh, it's gonna cost this much money, I can get this much financial aid, I can work 10 extra jobs and make up the difference. I think I'm gonna be able to do this. See, a faith risk isn't like that. See, a faith risk, see, he's not going to call us to that. That's not that much of a risk when you can calculate the things and you can do it all on your budget and you can figure it all out. But a faith risk, you need to not even know how this is even possible. And then say yes. A faith risk is there's door number one, door number two, door number three, and the Lord says, choose door number three. And you go, okay, because you said door number three, fine, I will choose that. Whatever is on the other side of door number three is the right thing. I will step out into that. See, a faith risk means it's really all dependent on him. It's all resting on him. That's what he was calling the rich young ruler to do. He's saying, listen, you have been navigating your life with all of this wealth and all of this acquisition and all of these material possessions, and you have placed your hope in that. What are you placing your hope in? You may be saying, I don't have anything like the rich young ruler. Yeah, but you got something. You got some things. We all have these things that we can place our hope in. What is he asking you to sell and follow him? It may not be literal. So don't go home today saying, the preacher said I need to sell everything and give it to the church. Don't go home and say that's what I'm saying. Unless God tells you to do that. Now, God could tell you to do that. But what I am saying is, all of us, we have to examine ourselves. We all have these things in us and about us that we lean on, that we hope in, that we trust in instead of him. And he's saying, sell it. Sell it. Give it away. Let it go. And come follow me. All right, let me go. I didn't mean to spend that much time on that point, but let me go. God, open my eyes to who you really are, and then I'll open my life to you. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. See, the god, little g, of this world, Satan, has the ability to deceive us, to blind us from seeing what we truly need to see. The rich young ruler, he was blind. He was focused on, I'm going to follow to the letter the law, which he really didn't, because the scripture tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So nobody does it perfect anyway. So he had the illusion of perfect behavior. But Jesus opened his eyes to see what you are missing is not checking the things off your list. What you are missing is you've not really given it all to me. You haven't given you to me. See, that's a question that we really have to ask ourselves. Have I really given me to him? So what's the prayer? God, open my eyes to see who you really are, and then I'll open my life to you. Continuing on, I'm going to skip a couple things, but I want to say this next passage as I transition to the last thought. Peter and the apostles, they're listening. They're seeing this encounter with the rich young ruler. They're hearing the words of Jesus about the difficulty of entering into the kingdom as a wealthy person. And then verse 28 of Mark 10, then Peter spoke up. He says, we have left everything to follow you. Jesus responds, truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes and brothers and sisters and mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. What is Jesus trying to tell his disciples? If you follow me, I will not leave you hanging. That's essentially what he's saying. You won't give up anything for me that you will regret. You won't give up anything for me that I won't return in some form or fashion in a condition far better than you could ever have imagined. See, prayer number two is this. God, here I am, fully submitted to you. Use me as you have never used me before. I had a prop. I don't know what I did with it, but it was a blank sheet of paper. Oh, there's my prop. Thank you. See, this is really what God wants for your life. Blank sheet of paper. The psychological term for this is called tabula rasa. It's a blank sheet of paper that God is given permission to write whatever your story is on the paper. See, this is really what the blood of Jesus does for our life. See, we come to him with a paper filled with stuff. And then the blood of Jesus washes the history, washes the past, washes the mistakes, even washes the victories. And he says, now, let me rewrite the story. Let me write it according to my will, according to my plan, according to my purpose. He wants a blank sheet of paper. I'm going to close with this. In 2002, the Lord spoke to my wife and I. We were at a great church. I'd been there for 9 years, got ordained there. I was on staff there. And the Lord said, in the midst of things going great, it's time to go. Long story short, he sent us down to Douglasville for what at the time I had no idea. I knew nobody in Douglasville. A few months later, we got connected with the church at Chapel Hill. And the pieces started to come together. And opportunities began to come. But you know what we had to do? We had to leave what was comfortable, familiar, and secure. In other words, he called me to leave my salary with no idea of how we would be providing. We had a little baby who's now taller than me. He was 6 months old in a baby carrier. I'm a new daddy going, I ain't got no job. A couple months later, somehow she's pregnant again. Somehow. But let me say this to you. Never did he leave us. Oh, was it some hard days? Oh, yes. It was some hard days. It was some rice-a-roni. Some beans and rice. And then some more beans and rice. Then rice and beans. And a little chicken thrown in there every now and then. But here's what I know. If I had never taken that step, I wouldn't be here today. I would not be here today. It was impossible to see in 2002 what he had for 2018. It was absolutely impossible. Won't you stand to your feet? I don't know what the Lord is saying to you today, but I have felt so strongly impressed that God is calling people out of the familiar, out of what is comfortable, out of what you would choose for yourself. Perhaps you're in this place and you're outside of a relationship with Jesus, and he is saying to you, it's time. It's time to step out of living for yourself and give your life to me. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for the power of your word. Right here, in this room, we pray these two transformative prayers. God, say it after me. God, open my eyes to see who you really are. And then I'll open my life to you. And then pray this prayer. God, here I am. Fully submitted to you. Use me as you never have used me before. And now, Father, I pray answer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.